Okay. Glad to see some people in church. Well done. And that was a significantly strong finish to our worship this year. Thank you, guys. That was awesome. I really enjoyed that. That was so good. Okay, just want to pray quickly for the offering and just for the service. Going to share then. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you bless us, God. You provide for us, Lord. We just speak your blessing over our giving for your cause. So God, we say, let your kingdom come. And Father, we just commit the rest of the service into your hands. Lord, I pray that you speak to each and every one of us personally, individually, and powerfully. God, we bless you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so last week we started with a sort of a new series called The Heavenly Man. And this morning I'm continuing, and I want to focus this morning on our heavenly identity. It's been a really good week. We have just really been having an amazing time. I was just amazed. We've been living in East London now for about 5 years, and I've been going to the same hair salon also for the 5 years. You know, you wonder why on earth is he saying that? Nothing to do with my hair, but more to do with I was at the hair salon a week or two ago, and I was just sharing with the guy doing my hair, just sharing with him just what God has done this year, the way he's been healing people and touching lives. And so then he told me I must come and minister to them at the hair salon. So then I was invited back for this past Wednesday, and so me and 4 or 5 other leaders from church went to the hair salon, and we spoke to about 12 to 15 staff members. And it was just amazing because they're really battling. There's lots of challenges. The owner is a brain tumor, and the other guy is doing hair. His wife was killed in a car wreck a week ago, and the other one is the stories was just incredible, the stuff they're going through. But it was such a beautiful opportunity. We just shared some stories, and then we prayed for each one individually, and most of everyone was crying, and it was just amazing. I was just amazed. And God, this is beautiful. You're just opening a door that we can step into and come and reveal your goodness. And so I trust it's the beginning of many such opportunities to go to businesses, schools, wherever, just to bring the goodness of God to people. And also had some wonderful testimonies this week. Alan Van Dale shared about his dad. His dad had a tumor in his pancreas, and so it's been growing over the last few years. It's been increasing in growth, and it grew just to about 29 millimeters in size. And then his dad, who's 85, 86 years old, committed his life to the Lord end of September. And then after that, they prayed for him, and they prayed for healing. And so they went to the doctor now recently. They were expecting to do chemo. They were expecting that this is going to be really bad. And then they found that the tumor has shrunk from 29 millimeters to 5 millimeters. And the doctor is quite shocked. And so he said, well, come back in a year from now. And so that's just beautiful. And then Alan also shared that there's a lady, a family member, I think, that he prayed for. The lady had a cyst on her ovaries, and they prayed for her, and then sometime later she was in significant pain, and so they went to the doctor, and the doctor told her, well, the reason you're in such pain is because the cyst has shriveled up to a little something, and now it's falling off or something. I don't know, but God touched her. I don't know exact details. Doctors, forgive me. I must still get to the special super names, but God has been doing amazing things. So as JP has said, and we posted on our Facebook page about Roselda's arm. Don't know if you saw that, but there was she spilt boiling water over her arm. And I don't know, Claire, where are you? Do you want to come and share? Claire, come share. Occupational therapist, let's get a professional in. So you can make me look better.
Hi everyone, my name is Claire, as you said. I'm an occupational therapist, and a lot of people don't know that we work with a lot of scarring and scar tissue when we work in hospitals. And so when I saw Roselda's arm had been burnt, I was like, oh, cool, I can help you. But, I mean, you know, not cool that you've been burnt. But so when I saw her at the time, I think she was about a week and a half after she'd been burnt, and she'd already said she had no pain. And I was like, huh, you should not have pain. Like, that's incredible. So it was like already a miracle. She was literally like tapping it. It was like, this is not right. And I saw her at the time, I thought, I'm going to pray for her anyway, just for further healing. And she already had like leathery skin, and it really didn't look very great already. And then I've been away, and when I came back, she came and sat down next to me. Last time I saw it, she had her arm open. It was totally clear. Totally clear. She then sent me a whole lot of photographs with her whole story, every 2 days, how much better it had gone. In 3 weeks, her entire burn had cleared up. She has absolutely no scarring, none, which is unheard of for the stuff we see. We usually see patients for 2 years after their burn to just get the scarring down and just get everything clear. So this is an absolutely incredible, yeah, just amazed to be a witness of God's work. Yeah.
Awesome. That's just praise God. Because when I saw the arm as well, I was thinking, oh my goodness, she's going to have scarring for life. And our God is good. He cares about us in the smallest little things. A pastor in Stellenbosch, he said, I mean, this is like random. They were doing a weekend of prayer, also focusing on healing. And so there's the one guy, he had scars on his hand. Like scars, I think, I'm not sure if it's both hands or just the one hand, but he had the scar on his hand. So it wasn't like painful or anything anymore. But they prayed for him, and then suddenly the scar just disappeared. I mean, he's had it for years. So he came forward to testify, and he said, oh, S-H-I-T, this is, I can't believe it. Just shocked. So, I mean, it was just a scar. But God cares. He cares about the smallest details of our lives. And that's, in a sense, what I want to share about this morning, about how God feels about us. You see, when you and I, when we become Christians, when we become born again, the moment that happens, we step into a completely different realm. We were earthly, and some sort of like a staircase. We are, earth is the bottom, and the top is sort of representing heaven and the door into heaven. And the moment you and I become believers, the Bible says we are born again, born from above. And then something amazing happens. We become part of a new family. You're no longer just little old you. You're now part of a royal family, the heavenly family. Your identity has changed. Your family has changed. Primarily your family is now God. And so there's a heavenly realm that God wants us to step into. But many of us are sort of in terms of our identities, we're still walking in our earthly identity, but God wants us to walk in our heavenly identity. And so I saw a picture a few weeks ago in a prayer meeting. I shared it last week, but I was bothered about a few things. And in my mind's eye, I saw a picture. It was like God was speaking to me. I saw a staircase from earth to heaven, the open door in heaven, and I felt God saying, whispering to my heart, come higher. Come higher, come up, come and see things from my perspective. And I think many of us, we are so bound by our earthly surroundings that we see things from an earthly perspective. We live in an earthly way. And so last week I shared this, that God, we in Christ, in God, we have a heavenly identity, meaning that we're clothed with glory. Okay, clothed with glory. Then we also have a heavenly position, meaning we are seated in glory. And then also we have a heavenly perspective. All that we see is glory. Okay, so that's where God wants us to live. He wants us to move up that staircase, move up in the Spirit to a place where we see things from His perspective, not from our perspective. Okay. Now God is calling us to come higher. He's calling us to be more. Whatever you are seeing yourself to be, if you would look in the mirror, if you look at yourself, if you would value yourself, if you would describe yourself, if you would think, well, who am I and what do I mean to this world? Whatever you think and whoever you think you are, I want to tell you, you are more than that. You are more than that in Christ. You are more than that. And I'm trusting this morning you're going to get a revelation of how loved you are and how valuable you are and how special you are. And this is absolutely critical. And I hope you're going to, as I'm going to share, that it's going to make sense to you. But when I was a young man, 18, 19 years old, I hated myself. Absolutely hated myself. It was my self-image has been defined by my mistakes, my faults, the opinions of man. And so I could honestly say I hate myself. And even after becoming a believer, I would say times that I would live below that I would say would be God's standard for my life, I would be extremely hard on myself. I would, like, in a sense, beat myself up emotionally or with words and just be angry at my underperformance, if I can put it like that. And it's so easy when you're in that space that you on your self-image is not that great, then you can really fall into performance mode. It's like you want to prove something. You want to earn your place in God. You want to prove to the world that you are somebody. And that's not a good space to be, because in a sense you disconnect then from God. But I'm going to explain as we go. But it's a very heavy burden to bear, to not be at peace with yourself. To not really be able to say, I'm okay. I'm more than okay. I'm special. I'm valuable. So anyway, so the enemy, for those who don't know, there is an enemy. It's called the devil. There's evil in this world. And the enemy's plan is to bring us down. The enemy doesn't want us, if you look at the previous slide, the picture again of the staircase, previous slide. The enemy doesn't want you to be at the top. He doesn't want you to be in a good space. He doesn't want you to ascend that staircase. He wants to pull you down. He wants to get you earthly, bitter, messed up. Okay? How does he do it? He attacks our identity. He attacks our identity. He gets people to say things, the opinions of man. He gets circumstances that say something didn't work out. Then he jumps on that and he starts whispering these voices whisper to us, telling us, you know, you're not good enough, you don't cut it, you don't qualify. You know, if people really get to know you, they're not going to like you. So you better cover up. You better fake it, okay? Don't be you, you know, because when they really see you, they won't like you. And those sort of lies, and they can actually bring relational breakdown with the people around us. So the enemy is a trickster, he's a deceiver. At all cost, he doesn't want us to ascend that staircase. He wants to bring us down. So he uses accusations against our identity. And this is some of the stuff he says. You are not significant. No one cares about you. And no one gives a rip about what you think. You are not significant. No one cares about you. And no one gives a rip about what you think. And it can so easily happen in life. You're in a work situation and the people don't listen to me. So then you start believing, well, people just don't care about what I think. And the challenge with this, if I say, like, maybe it doesn't feel so bad or seem so bad, but there's often a spiritual force that comes behind those words. It just feels so real. It just feels so real. I'm not significant. No one cares about me. And maybe you're not there the whole time, but sometimes when things go wrong, then you find yourself in that space. It's absolutely foundational for you and me to know that we are significant. We are significant. If you don't, you will never do anything significant in this life. So it starts with that basic faith. But there's a quote there. It says, you will always reproduce the environment around you that you cultivate within you. You always reproduce the environment around you that you cultivate within you. So people that have a bad self-image or they don't see themselves as significant, you could call them, they could be like, you know, peasants. They're just peasants. They're not royalty. They're just a peasant. But in the process, these people can so easily reproduce the environment around them that they have within them. So they would also then, if they're people that are, for instance, wounded, a wounded person, and they don't deal with it, they begin wounding others. Or somebody that's bitter will start making other people bitter, or they will try. Or people that have been stepped on will tend to step on others as well. And so sometimes that happens to us, and then we start living that same life. But the root issue is significance, our value. So the opinion of man, it often ministers to us. That's the voices we hear, and that often defines us. The way people treat us, but it shouldn't be. Our God sees us. That is the key. And I want to share, we're going to look at how God sees us and defines us. There's a quote here from Chris Vallotton. He says, "Those who experienced abandonment and abuse in their youth, even if it was simply being born in an untimely manner, internalize a message that they are shameful, unwanted, and insignificant. The result of these lies is that we develop patterns of behavior that are designed to protect us in a hostile world. Because we've experienced attacks at the most fundamental levels of our identity, we think we have to do whatever it takes to kill the pain and simply survive. We internalize a message that we are shameful, unwanted, and insignificant, and it sits under the surface, not necessarily on top, and you're not necessarily aware of it. But it can lead to patterns of behavior that to try and protect ourselves, but in the process, we perpetuate the same pain, the same woundedness, the same bitterness, the same stepping on others. And so how do we deal with this? How do we get free from this? Learn to love yourself. Learn to love yourself. This is what the Lord spoke to Chris Vallotton. You can read a beautiful book called The Supernatural Ways of Royalty. We see that hand. Well done. One has been read. So, yeah, get the book. It's really good. So I'm just highlighting one or two things from it and then sharing some of my own thoughts as well. So the Lord spoke to him because he was battling in his relationships. He was in the ministry. He was a leader in the church. And then he realized he was living like a peasant. God spoke to him and said, you're a peasant in your heart. You don't see yourself as valuable. You don't see yourself as royalty. You don't see yourself as I see you. And because of that, he was sabotaging his relationships around him. And so the Lord spoke to him and said to him, learn to love yourself as much as I love you. That's your key. You've been a believer for a long time. Learn to love yourself as much as I love you. Because that is freedom. That is freedom. It's more than you're just okay. It's you're significant, you're greatly loved, and you are heard on high. This is so key to truly being set free. You know, I've made a few jokes last week about it as well. But it's to truly believe that you are significant. And it's not being vain. It's not being thinking, me, I am amazing. It's like, me with God, I'm amazing. Me without God, I'm nothing. So there's no vanity. There's no like arrogance as part of it. But it's sort of to know that in God, I am greatly loved. You see, God is our barometer. He is our standard. He defines who we are. It's when we see Him and how He treats us, how He feels about us, that we are set free. Then we break free from the opinions of people. We break free from whatever people might say. But He said, yeah, I didn't realize that I didn't love myself. Through that experience, I learned that whenever someone values us more than we value ourselves, we tend to sabotage our relationship with that person. Secretly, we don't want them to get close enough to find out that we aren't as good as they think we are. So what he's saying is, if you don't value yourself, all the single people in the house, if you don't value yourself and you step into a relationship with somebody else, and that person suddenly values you more than you value yourself, you can find yourself sabotaging that relationship because you're so afraid to allow them closer. It can be for anybody. It can be a marital relationship. It can be any form of relationship. We could be sabotaging the relationship because we feel if they see me for who I truly am, it will shut down. They will walk away. And that's a lie. You need to believe that the more somebody gets to know you, the more they're going to love you. Because you are that valuable, that special. It's really time for us to learn to love ourselves the way God loves us and to see ourselves the way through the Father's eyes, through our Father's eyes. Okay, so I just want to share three things, three short declarations that we're going to do. The one is, I am significant. Let's say it, I am significant. Secondly, I am greatly loved. Thirdly, I am heard on high. Okay, that's going to be your homework for the next few weeks. You need to tell yourself, I am significant. You need to tell yourself, I am greatly loved. And you need to tell yourself, I am heard on high. So I just quickly want to highlight a few things around each of them. The first one, that you are significant. Romans 8, verses 14 to 17. Last week we shared about the power of declarations. You need to say it. You need to speak it. Now, Ashley isn't here, but she shared with me she had serious flu. She was at the life group on Wednesday night. She was a mess. She says, a complete mess. And then she says that evening around 10 o'clock, she said, no, she needs to pray because she needs to fly to Durban on Friday. And she needs to go look after her nephew, I think. But if she's sick, she can't go. So she is crying out to God, God, please heal me. So she's crying out. And then she felt the Lord saying, just declare it. Just declare it. So she started to declare it, I am healed. So she spoke to each of the symptoms and said, it is gone, it is gone, it is gone. And then suddenly she was healed. She says she was 85% healed within 30 minutes. And next day she was 95% healed. Praise God. The power of a declaration. The power of agreeing with God. So the Lord, that I shared last week, the Lord is speaking to me over and over again. Agree with me. Agree with what I am saying about you. Take that word and declare it over your life. So you are significant. You matter to God the Father. As even with Jesus was being baptized in water. And when he was baptized by John the Baptist, the heavens opened up. And then the Father God spoke through the clouds, said, the heavens opened. And God the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That was Jesus' confidence. That's where it came from, his confidence in his Father. But it says here, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Say, spirit of adoption. By whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So just a few thoughts concerning that verse. The one is that there, it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. You and I, we have a partner. We have a partner. We have a friend that's come alongside us, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes alongside. And as we sung this morning, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So the Holy Spirit is the one that leads us into freedom, into a place of relational and in terms of our identity, freedom in our identity. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. He's the one that leads us into freedom. And I've seen this over again and over and over again. The Spirit of prophecy. That's when somebody prays for you and then suddenly they feel that the Lord is saying this word for your life. I've over and over again been shocked whenever that happens, especially in the past. Like, what? So God Almighty looks at me like that? Can't believe it. I'm shocked. But that's the Spirit of prophecy. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you and me who we are in God. He wants to reveal to us who God is, yes, but then he wants to reveal to us who are we in him. And so we need to nurture our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need to nurture that relationship. The last few weeks again, we were praying with the pastors from Durban and George, and one of the guys had a word, a prophecy for us that I have received over and over again. But it is significant. It is huge. What God wants to do in this city, in this town, and in this region, there's going to be an explosion of the grace and the goodness of God. So I'm saying, okay, Lord, I'm agreeing with you. I'm not agreeing with what the eye says of the challenges out there, I'm agreeing with you that there's an explosion of your goodness, of your faithfulness, of your grace coming upon our lives. And I'm starting to declare it. I'm starting to agree with it. What are you agreeing with? What are you speaking over your life? What are we speaking over this country? I was just shocked. What's that seriously rich guy's name again? Real estate guy. He put a tweet out there now. He said, you're fired. The guy that said, you're fired. What? Donald Trump, that's the man. You're fired. Now, he tweeted over the last few days saying, well, I like Nelson Mandela, you know, but South Africa's a mess and it's going to the dogs or something like that. And then somebody else went down and also said, South Africa is cussing our beautiful country. That upsets me. I think we've got a beautiful country. I think we have beautiful people. I'm not going to focus on the negative stuff. We have incredible opportunities to see the kingdom come in this nation. But what are we agreeing with? Are we agreeing with all the negative stuff? Or are we agreeing with the goodness and the faithfulness and the power of Almighty God? He brought us through 94. He's going to bring us through the next one as well. Julius Malema? Never. Never. You're not Nelson Mandela. Our God is good and He's in control. We didn't lose a bit of sleep. He is faithful. Okay, so anyways, we have the partner, the Holy Spirit. He comes alongside us and He wants to affect our eyesight. He wants to lead us into freedom, but it starts with you and me. How you view yourself will determine how you live. Do you believe that you're significant? Or you're just a peasant? If you believe you are significant, then you can do significant things. If God Almighty says you are significant, well, surely we should agree with Him, shouldn't we? I think we should. But then it says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But there's another spirit, a spirit of bondage. He wants to lead us. There's another spirit, not the Holy Spirit. And He wants to lead us into bondage, into being bound by lies. So the enemy has no authority over us. Zero authority. Unless you agree with him. The devil has no power. Evil has no power on this planet unless people agree with him. Are you agreeing with the lies? Are you agreeing with the lies people spoke over you when you were younger? Some of us are still walking with the lies from school. Something was spoken over you by a teacher or a friend or somebody. I remember one time I was I upset the teacher. And so amazing guy. He was, when we were in grade 8, he was a wonderful, loving, friendly teacher. Then he became the head of the hostel. And I think those boys, well, Paul boys, they broke him down. He became a bitter, angry man. And so instead of where in the past he would build us up, he would now start cussing us out and saying terrible stuff over our lives. And those words can stick if we agree with it. What has been spoken over you? Renounce it. Reject it. But in some way, people sometimes communicate things to us saying there's something wrong with you, and we take it to heart. Deep down, we take it to heart. We think, well, maybe they're right. Maybe there's something wrong with me. No, don't receive it. So the spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and witnesses to our heart, I'm a child of the King. I'm a son of the Most High. Who cares what people say? That's what God wants to put us. He wants to confirm to our hearts that we are born into a royal family. We are blessed. We are valuable. We are special. So I am significant. Let's say that again. I am significant. Okay, the second one now is you are greatly loved. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 to 10. It says, but you are a chosen generation. Chosen. Say chosen. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. So let's say it. I am royalty. A holy nation. Say, I am holy. His own special people. Say, I am special. See, I wanted to get this in your mouth so something can come through to your heart. Sometimes we sit with this wall around our hearts. We don't allow the truth to come into our hearts to set us free. It says that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are chosen. You are royal. You are holy. You are special when you surrender your life to Christ. Why? So that you can declare his praises. For he's called you out of darkness into light. We are no longer darkness. We are light. Who were not a people, but are now the people of God. We're the people of God. Chosen for greatness. Chosen to represent God on the earth. It was funny, I was preparing to say this, and then Leonie actually said it yesterday in the play. She was reading King Arthur to the Beast in Beauty and the Beast. And as a matter, I got this, one time somebody prayed for me. I think it was a child, actually, a child, 8-year-old child, part of a group of people praying, and this child prayed for me. And then this child saw a picture of me standing like Arthur at this rock, with the Excalibur in the rock. You know the story, you know, the one that could pull it out, he'll be king. And this child said that the Holy Spirit revealed to her, to him, that everybody's trying to pull out the sword, but it's not working for anyone. Then you come, you pull it out, and it works. Chosen. That's the picture of chosen. You're special. You are different. Each and every one of us has a glorious God destiny. Each and every one of us have a sword in a rock somewhere. And everybody might try to do that destiny, but none can until you come. Because you are significant. You are greatly loved and you are chosen. And so then you pull out that sword. And then you can do what you're called to do. No one can do what you've been called to do. You have a unique, special destiny. You are chosen. A while ago, I was saw somebody do something, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's such a lovely gift. I wish I could do that. I wish I had that gift, and I think, but I don't. And then I had to catch myself and say, no, stuff this. Why would I want to be like somebody else? If God has designed me in a very specific way, then it must be for purpose. Then it must be for his glorious will. Because he designed me perfectly. He designed you perfectly. But so often we sit and find ourselves comparing ourselves to others. I wish I was taller. I've said that for a long time. I wish I had calves. But I don't. It's okay. I think if I had big calves, I might never have come to Christ. I would have been too arrogant. It kept me humble. So some of us, so, you know, God knows what he's doing. He keeps us short and he keeps us without calves. So you think, okay, maybe I need Jesus, okay? But he designed us perfectly. So you need to get it. You need to get a revelation of it. And say, "Oh wow, God, I'm amazed. You're a good craftsman. Wow, man." No, it's not vanity. It's not like me. It's like God in you. I'm perfect. Without you, I'm nothing. With you, I'm significant, and I'm greatly loved. Do you believe it? Do you believe that there's a special, unique calling upon your life, and only you can fulfill it? Do you believe that you're significant? Because if you do not believe that you're significant, you will live below what you're called to live. I got a word yesterday for somebody here. Just feel the Lord is saying, my son, you are more than this. My son, you are more than this. I just felt somebody is finding themselves in a sub God's will standard of living. And I just believe God is saying, you are more than this. You see, if you're just a miserable sinner, you're going to live like a miserable sinner. But if you are significant and you are royalty and you are loved and you are valuable, you're going to live differently. It's like with my wife. the way she treats me. You know, when we got married, I wasn't very helpful in the house. I'm not perfect yet, to be quite honest. But she would always treat me as more than I might be performing in terms of a man. That is so powerful. And we can do that for one another as well. But God Almighty is speaking to us and saying, you are more than this. You are more than this. Don't settle for a substandard living. And then it says royal priesthood, royalty, royalty. You are royal. You know, there's not many people in a land that's normally royalty. Normally. And then God says, you're royalty, you're special, you're valuable, you're different. If you would just believe it. It is the truth. The reason they are so few is because so few believe it. So few people believe they are significant and greatly loved. And so they live substandard lives. We are set apart from the rest. You are one of a few. You have a royal bloodline. You are washed by the blood of Christ if you've committed your life to Jesus Christ. When you're royalty, people laugh at your jokes even when it's not funny. So people laugh at our jokes even when it's not funny. Start believing it. You are important. You are significant. You are holy. You're set apart. You're not like the rest. You are a vessel prepared and ready for a great mission. You know, when Jesus, when he was born, there were angels there singing. There were angels singing. Do you know, when you and I, when we come into the kingdom, when you become a believer, it says the angels in heaven rejoice for another king is born. He's the big king. We're little kings. We have sort of an order in our house. Vian, our boy, five-year-old boy, will often ask him, he says, is he klein koninkie? Papa, is he groot koning? Maar Jesus is he groot koning. And then we have mommy. We are royalty. We are royalty. If you start believing it, you start thinking differently, living differently, acting differently. It affects us. It's beautiful. I want to share this again. I think it's Chris Valentin that said this. I was saved when I believed in God. I was transformed when I realized He believes in me. That is so the truth. As a grade 8, 9 young boy, I was a complete mess. Parents divorced. I was going astray. My grades were dipping. I was hanging out with the serious dropouts. It was a mess. And I remember those times I was sitting with my dad. I'll never forget it. Sitting those times, just me and my dad. And we having, you know, just after the braai, we're just sitting for hours and hours and hours and just talking. Everywhere else, I was an idiot. I was stupid. People didn't respect me, didn't value me. I was, because in a sense, I didn't value myself. I was a mess on the inside. And yet I had this one man, this great businessman, this successful businessman who had all these achievements in his life. And this man treats me as if I have value. That pulled me through. That pulled me through. And I want to say you the most significant being on the face of the universe, Almighty God, Father, Creator, love. He is love. He comes to you and me and He says, I value you. I value you. I believe in you. I see more in you. Don't go down to that level. You're not that. You are royalty. You are chosen. You are priest. You are holy. You are my son. You are my daughter. There is so much more in you. You must see the King of Kings coming to you, sitting across the table and speaking to you. Say, my son, my child, hear me. I want to show you who you really are. I want to show you how much I've put within you. You are a world changer because you're my son. You're my daughter. I love you so much. I don't know if you've been through this, but sometimes you go places and there's sort of people giving prophecies of things. And you, I remember when I was younger in the Lord, I was always longing that some significant, important man of God would call me out of the crowd and say, you, brother, have this amazing calling on your life. It's never happened. But what I can say is that the King of the universe has come to me and he has spoken to me. And he said, I believe in you. That's more than enough. That's more than enough. It's time for us to see ourselves for who we truly are. You live differently. You'll act differently. We will see the kingdom come. Special. You are special. You treasured. You're valued. You are fought for. All of heaven fights for your heart. Maybe a year this morning you've not surrendered your life to Jesus. All of heaven is fighting for your affection. All of heaven is looking at your every move. When will he turn? When will she turn? When will they realize? When will he realize how much I love him? God is waiting for us to turn. And then the last one. So you are significant. You are greatly loved. And you are heard on high. Your voice counts. Even if people do not listen, your heavenly Father hears you. John chapter 11, verse 40 to 43. This is Jesus just before he raises Lazarus from the dead. I love this passage. This is so powerful. Jesus said to her, I think it's Mary, did I not say to you that if you would believe, let's say that, if you would believe, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. If you would believe who you are in Christ, you will see the glory of God. You would see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, the Son speaking to his Father. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he said these things, he cried with a loud voice and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And a dead man, 4 days dead, rose from the grave. Why? Because a son of God who knew who he was spoke in the name of the Almighty. Father, I thank you that you always hear me. I'm declaring that over my life more and more. I say, God, I thank you that when I pray, you hear. God, when I pray for the sick, you hear. When I speak, things happen. Because I'm your son. And you're for me. All of heaven backs me. All of heaven backs you. All of heaven backs you. If you would believe it. And he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. So, we need to do the same. Jesus had this boldness. He had the spirit of sonship upon him. I'm going to show you a video clip in a moment. It's sort of a ministry song, actually, with words that speaks of who you are. And so I just want to encourage you to open your heart wide. You can read the words on screen, but then to receive just the ministry of the spirit of who you truly are. You see, if we realize who we are, we will never be intimidated again. We will never be moved again by what people might say of us. We will never succumb to a spirit of fear again because we know that our God is with us. So I want to pray for us and we're going to show the video clip. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can agree with you. Thank you, God, that we can say it is so. There is more in us than we can imagine because God lives in us when we surrender our lives to you. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we welcome, Lord, your grace here that each and every one of us would receive a revelation of how significant we are in God. That we'll receive a revelation of how loved we are because, Jesus, you gave your life for us. And Lord, may we know that we are heard. When we pray, heaven hears. When we speak, the kingdom comes. For we are children of the Most High. God, we bless you. Hallelujah. So your homework, we have lots, we always do homework, yeah? Just renounce the lies that you might believe about yourself or the lies that people have spoken over your life. Just make a point of saying, I renounce that, and then start speaking the truth. I am significant, I am greatly loved, and I'm heard on high. I'm just doing that. You really feel good after you do that. It does affect you. It works. So I just want to pray for us that the Holy Spirit would lead us on this journey into freedom, into seeing ourselves for who we truly are. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you for the truth. Thank you for the truth that sets us free. Thank you, Lord, that we can expose the lies that the world might have spoken over us, lies that we might have embraced. God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and minister to us, lead us into truth, expose the lies of self-hatred, of feeling insignificant, expose the lies of not feeling loved or as if no one cares. And Lord, expose the lies that we are not heard, that our voice doesn't count. And so God, we just ask that your Spirit would come upon each and every one of us, lead us into freedom. And may the freedom, may the truth of God be in our mouths. May we speak it, may we believe it, may we declare it, and may we start living as royalty, as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Just as every eye is closed, just want to give an opportunity, just felt led in my heart. If you're here this morning and maybe you've still not surrendered your life to Jesus, you're doing your own thing. You will never get free without Jesus. He is the truth that sets us free. So if you're here this morning and you've not surrendered your life to Christ, or you have in the past, but you've moved away, you've gone away, I just want to give you an opportunity to turn to the love of Christ this morning. If there's anybody like that, would you just quickly raise your hand? I want to give an opportunity. The Bible says we need to believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Then we'll be saved. We need to turn in our hearts to Him. So just want to encourage you, if you're here this morning, you haven't, just take that opportunity. You can come to me afterwards, or you can just later today, just take the moment, just pray in your own words and say, Jesus, I realize I've gone astray. I need you. I'm a mess without you. Save me. Simple as that. Turn to Him in your heart. And I just quickly want to pray. I'm not going to call you forward. But if you really battle in terms of your identity, would you just quickly, what I've been ministering really resonates in your heart. You realize you need freedom in that area. Just quickly raise your hand. Okay, after you've raised it, you can drop it again. Anybody else? It's just good to respond. It's just good to say, okay, my God, that's me. I want that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just pray for those who raise their hands, and some of us are still, you know, in our hearts, we're raising our hands. God, we just pray for each one. Set us free. Set your people free. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we speak freedom to every heart here this morning. We release freedom over every heart to believe that we are significant, greatly loved, and that when we pray, heaven hears. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we release life, confidence, boldness. And I just sense in my heart that the Father God is going to come to us through the Holy Spirit. He's going to come to us. He's going to sit with us. And He's going to reveal His love for us. God, we say yes, let that be. Come and whisper to our hearts how You feel about us, Lord God. Come and share with us how greatly loved we are, so that our lives may bring glory to Your name. Just sense God is saying, I'm going to come to You. I'm going to share my heart with You. Lord, we say yes to that. Let that be. We bless You, God. And so, Father, we just pray for this holiday season. Even though some of us are working still, God, we thank You for protection on the roads. We pray for protection in our hearts. We pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, in this time, may we hunger for You more than ever. May we walk on righteous, holy, good roads. We declare these are holy days to the glory of God. Father, we love You. Thank You that You are for us. Have Your way. Have Your way in us, God. May our lights shine brightly over the next month. May it shine brightly for our families, for our loved ones, for our friends. May they see Jesus in us. And may our lives bring glory to Your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.